When Paulo Coelho was a teenager in Brazil, he knew that he wanted to be a writer someday, but his parents did not approve. His parents also thought that he was too introverted and stubborn. So believe it or not, when he was 17, they had him committed to a mental hospital. He escaped from that mental hospital three times until he was released at the age of 20. And thereupon, he entered law school at his parents' request, but very soon dropped out to travel the world. And during a 500-mile-plus pilgrimage walk in northwest Spain, Paulo Coelho had an awakening that led him to write his first book. He later noted, "From the moment I realized that I wanted to be a writer, I said, it may take 10 days, 10 years, or 20 years, but I am going to write. I started by writing songs. I started writing articles for newspapers. I had no choice but to follow the thing that I wanted to do." Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with him as the author of the best-selling book, The Alchemist. And in it, he writes, "You will never be able to escape from your heart. It is better to listen to what it has to say." Well, as it turns out, our hearts have quite a lot to tell us. They seem to be connected to or attuned to a source of intelligence beyond time and space. We might call it God or spirit or the infinite. But at the same time, our hearts connect us to who we most truly and deeply are. Isn't that something? They are our greatest source of wisdom and guidance and intuition and insight. Well, now scientists are telling us that our hearts are even more intelligent and powerful than we ever imagined. Excuse me. In their book, The Heart Math Solution, Doc Childrey and Howard Martin write this: "We now have scientific evidence that the heart sends us emotional and intuitive signals to help govern our lives. Instead of simply pumping blood, it directs and aligns with many systems in the body so they can function in harmony with one another. And although the heart is in constant communication with the brain, we now know that it makes many of its own decisions." Yes, it's true. The heart has a mind of its own. You might have had a sense of that in your past. In the 1970s, researchers John and Beatrice Lacey discovered that although the brain sends orders to the heart through the nervous system, the heart doesn't always obey. Rather, the heart seems to have its own distinct logic, and under certain circumstances, it thinks for itself. Further, the Lacey's discovered that the heart doesn't just receive messages from the brain, it sends messages to the brain. That the brain not only understands, but obeys. Isn't this so different from how we usually think of the hierarchy within us? Well, in 1991, a pioneering neurocardiologist named Dr. J. Andrew Armour went even further. He found that the nervous system within the heart is sophisticated enough to qualify as a little brain in its own right. That's right! Doesn't this blow your mind? The heart is its own brain. Little, what? In the 90s. Well, it's always had it, but we just learned. So this heart brain is an intricate network of at least 40,000 neurons or nerve cells, as many as are found in the information hubs in this brain. It also has neurons, neurotransmitters, proteins, and support cells. The heart's brain can learn, remember, feel, and sense. It helps regulate the body's autonomic nervous system and also contributes to higher thought and reasoning. Our hearts are not only brilliant, they are extremely powerful. The electromagnetic field generated by the heart, through which it transmits energy and information, and yes, there it is for you to see. This is the most powerful energy field produced by the body. It is about 5,000 times stronger than the electromagnetic field generated by the brain. The heart's electromagnetic field not only permeates every cell in our bodies, it also radiates outside of us. It can be measured up to 8 to 10 feet away with sensitive detectors called magnetometers, which is another way of saying, is my mic okay? We doing okay? Good, okay. Which is another way of saying that people feel our vibe. I mean, you think of that picture, right? People feel our vibe and we feel theirs, which help explains when you sometimes walk into a room and you immediately feel uplifted by the positive vibration of the people there, which to me is a lot how it feels in here on a Sunday. Or similarly, or actually conversely, sometimes you walk into a room and you feel like, something's not right here, right? It feels like people are a little bit at odds with each other, even though on the surface, everyone looks fine. Basically, we're picking up on their energy fields. Well, you would think with having this powerhouse intelligence right at the that we would be guided by it in every decision and action we make. But that is not the case. We tend to value the head more than the heart, isn't it true, right? We tend to gravitate toward logic and reason, and often we dismiss intuition because it seems kind of random, or maybe inappropriate, or sometimes even a little scary. If we're faced with a major decision in life, what do? We sit down and we weigh out the pros and cons, and then we make the most rational choice. But how many times have you made a logical decision and later said to yourself, I wish I would have, if only I had listened to my heart? Now, let me just be clear about this. When I say listen to your heart, I'm not saying to indulge every wild idea or crazy kind of craving you have. Oh, but I really, really want. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about tuning in to the highest intelligence, the highest wisdom within you. You know, we can all think of times in our lives when we have listened to our hearts and times when we haven't. I can certainly think of jobs I took and dates I went on where my heart was telling me no, but I thought, oh, what the heck, I'll go ahead and do this, and thankfully there was no lasting damage from any of that. But there have also been many, many times when I have listened to and followed my heart. So 7 years ago, Richard and I had lived in an apartment it was in Virginia Beach. And so we decided we wanted to buy a home. So we went to the wonderful Amber McCullough, the best realtor on the planet, and asked her to help us find a home. So she showed us many, many houses. I bet any of you who are home buyers have had the same kind of experience. She showed us many houses, and a lot of them had the features that we were looking for, and some had the ability to be modified to have the features that we wanted. But you know, they just didn't grab me. And finally, I said to Amber, gosh, Amber, am I just being too picky? And she smiled and said, no, you'll know when you find the right one. And sure enough, really only a few days later, as soon as I walked in what is now our wonderful home and has been for 7 years, I absolutely knew it. It's like, this is the one. This is the one. My heart told me so. And it was absolutely right. You know, in thinking about this, I look over the very highlights of my life, the greatest blessings of my life, and they have always resulted from following my heart. It was my heart that told me to have children, my beloved Ben and Emily. My heart led me to actually pursue and then marry my beloved Richard. It was my heart that told me to leave my corporate career and go into ministry. And my heart led me here to Unity Renaissance, a place I fell in love with the minute I walked in the door. You see, you know this feeling. You've experienced this feeling. It's like a very deep, deep knowing within you and a sense of rightness and wholeness. Our way shower often spoke, of course, about the importance of the heart and staying attuned to the heart as a way of projecting love, but also just as a spiritual practice. In Matthew 5:8, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will know God. Well, that's been misconstrued a bit out there. Pure in heart, it does not mean being chaste or perfectly virtuous in the context of the times and also the wisdom tradition. He was talking about being single-eyed, being focused, being singly focused on the heart, being, we might even say, unified at the heart level, being wholehearted. You know, there's a great little statue outside of the entrance to the building that comes into the offices out here. It shows Jesus, a likeness of Jesus, pulling his robe apart to indicate his heart. And I just think, what a beautiful illustration of the very central point that he was always trying to make. Let your heart be your guide. Let your heart be your guide. And love one another. Nevertheless, in this very fast-paced and sort of logic-driven life that we lead, how can we remember to connect to the heart? How can we rediscover the wisdom of the heart that we may have been ignoring? Well, there's a great technique. This is really if you're faced with a difficult decision and you're trying to kind of weigh it out. So this is a technique that's described in a book called Heart Intelligence. And the woman who wrote this is not the book, but this chapter. Her name is Deborah Roseman. And she talks about how she, in the 1970s, how she was teaching psychology to adults. And she said she had this one exercise she would do if a student was facing a sort of a key issue or a decision about a relationship or a career. She would do the following. She would take two pillows and put them on the floor, one to represent the head and the other to represent the heart. Then she would have the student go sit on the pillow that represented the head and speak aloud what her head wanted to say about this particular issue to her heart. And then the student would go over and sit on the other pillow and share what the heart wanted to say to the head. And would continue alternating in this fashion for a couple of times. And she said it was remarkable that sometimes it seemed almost like there were two completely different people speaking from each of these perspectives. But she also said after three or four times, she would notice a palpable shift, that the student would begin to sort of settle into their heart wisdom. Everybody in the class would notice it, that there was a shift in the depth of what they were sharing. There was a shift in the quality of energy that was coming through them. And each time, she said, the student, through this kind of intuitive tuning in, but also combining the input from the head and the heart, they would either come up with how to solve or decide the situation, or at the very least, they would be clear on their next step. She said this happened so often that I was convinced that the heart was accessing another intelligence. Oh, yeah, of course it was. Of course it was. You see, our heart wants us to hear it. It wants us to tune in. So the next time you are faced with a difficult decision, you, of course, may try this technique. Put two pillows on the floor, sit on one, then the other, head, heart, head, heart, head, heart, until you come to sort of the truth, really. If you don't like getting up and down that much, picture a few of you, or me. Anyway, you could just take out a piece of paper and write out the conversation. Here's what your head says about this. Here's what your heart has to say. Keep going back and forth until you gain clarity. Well, there are certainly other ways to tune into the wisdom of the heart if we aren't facing a critical decision, but just as an ongoing spiritual practice. So here are a few simple ideas for you. Simple practices to connect with your heart's wisdom. And the first one is make time for peace and quiet. Doesn't have to be a really long time. Just make time for peace and quiet, because the heart can be heard best in the silence. Next, bring conscious awareness to your heart. Think about your heart. Send it some love. Tune into it. One way you can do this is imagine breathing in and out. through your heart space. You know, that is a pretty remarkable technique, even when you're out driving around or you're getting frustrated, whatever it might be. It immediately shifts your perspective. It makes you feel as though Spirit is breathing you. And third, and this is really comes from heart math, is to come into coherence through loving thoughts. This is really about opening your heart now that you've made the connection. The typical way of doing that is to bring into your mind some thoughts of love, or care, or appreciation. Even just thinking those things, don't you feel a warmth start to fill you? Yeah. So you stay on that. In order to come into what a heart math calls coherence, which is essentially alignment and harmony and balance, body, mind, and spirit. And finally, once you're in that coherent state, you can do this if you're ready. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to know? And then listen, like really listen. You may even want to write down what you hear. When we tune into this incredible intelligence of the heart, we begin to experience a great increase in love and compassion and non-judgment and tolerance, patience, and forgiveness. It is absolutely a gateway to all of these spiritual gifts. So once we open our hearts, the task then is to keep them open, or as the song says, live with your heart wide open. What that means is you go out into the world and you see through the eyes of your heart. You make a conscious effort to soften your gaze instead of looking for differences or succumbing to judgment, to seek reason, to feel compassion. You know, June is a particularly great month to practice open-heartedness. It is Pride Month. So a perfect opportunity for us to remember that all human beings deserve love and respect and fair treatment regardless of their gender orientation or their gender identity or sexual orientation. It's a great chance to remember that. Next Saturday is Juneteenth. It's June 19th, a day that commemorates the effective end of slavery in the United States, but also reminds us we have a lot more work to do. And the way to begin doing that work is to love better and to be even more committed to justice going forward. You know, following your heart isn't necessarily the easy path. Sometimes it takes a great deal of courage to listen to your heart and follow. But as Paulo Coelho tells us, you will never regret it. He says this, "From the moment you are following your heart, your life will be full of wonders. Synchronicities happen. Miracles happen. People show up. The exact person you need to talk to today shows up right in front of you. Haven't you had that happen? It's amazing. Or the person who has an answer to your question calls you out of the blue. When you're living with an open heart, miracles happen, and you don't have to create them from a sense of effort. They just happen effortlessly. I have found all of this to be absolutely true. So even though following your heart may not necessarily be the easy path, it is the only way to truly live, and it is the only way to live true to who you most deeply are. However daunting the journey may seem, you embark on it as a whole person, aligned and in integrity, with Spirit guiding and supporting you every step of the way. And really, what more could we ask for? Let's turn now to our meditation. As many of you know, I practice heart math. I am super enamored with it. Gail Boynton, sitting here on the third row, is a heart math instructor. I'm sure she'd love to tell you more about it. But today in our meditation, I'm just going to share a very, very simple exercise that comes to us from heart math. So I just invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Breathe in deeply. And let it go. Just feel Mother Earth supporting you. Feel how right it is to be right where you are. Breathe in one more time. And as you release, feel your body relax. From the top of your head, just relaxing very easily all the way through your torso, your legs, out your feet, and feel peace. And just breathe into the sense of ease and grace. Feeling spirit all around you and within you, loving and nurturing you. I invite you for a moment to put your hand on your heart. And imagine now that you are breathing in and out through your heart. Very easily in and out. And exhale a little more deeply than you inhale to relax even more. Your sweet, precious heart. Breathe in through it and breathe out. Now on each in-breath, feel yourself breathing in ease, love, and compassion. And breathing it in as surely as a thirsty flower drinks in the rain. Ease, love, and compassion. You can put your hand back in your lap and just enjoy the steady rhythm of breathing in love, ease, and compassion. In and out through the heart for these few moments in the silence. Take a moment now to send a little thank you to this big, beautiful, brainy, loving heart of yours that you carry with you, that can be your sure guide, your source of wisdom, love, compassion, intuition, and grace. And we go forward, seeing through the eyes of our heart, giving from the deepest place of love within us. Thank you, God, for these teachings. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your